put that on record. Yeah. So we have halacha dalet chav chesam beis ein ashi ameres b'chotzer. You have a fig tree that's standing in the chotzer. So the chotzer, it gets a little confusing, you know. Sometimes you see chotzer and it is kaveya. Sometimes it seems like it's not kaveya. It is chotzer. We're going to assume it is kaveya, and therefore you can only eat it darach arai. You can eat it one at a time, u'pater. But if you put two together, then you are chayev.
So a chatzar isn't necessarily connected to a house.
So it usually is connected to a house. It's usually an extent, either it's the way into the house, and it has a locha just like the house, whatever. I mean,
that's not
is there anything here that says otherwise? Let's see here.
It just has a tehenna tree, which it normally doesn't grow.
It says over here in 20, he puts it together, okay? So he says, generally it doesn't become obligated in Mises until it sees the face of the house, and then in brackets he writes, or courtyard, okay? So that's the normal thing over here.
Yes. In this case, it's brought in. It's there before it's ripe.
The fruit is picked from a tree growing in a courtyard. You have seen the face of the courtyard. B. What point is the Gemara of Lacha for such fruit tree? So it says over here, let's see. He can plug one fig at a time. He's considered to be eating prior. This is what he writes. He is considered to be in 21. He's considered to be eating prior to Gemara Malacha. But if you pick two or more figs, then it's already considered Gemara Malacha. So that's the chiluk, okay? All right. Let's see. It's over here. It says.
Why is that considered the Gemara Malacha?
It's considered Gemara Malacha because you've got two pieces of fruit that you're ready to eat. So that's Gemara for them.
So it's not the Chatzar that's making the Gemara Malacha?
No. But the Chatzar is what's causing you to be unable to eat two at a time, though. If you would be in the field, you'd be able to eat two at a time because you haven't been ripe down bias yet. So according to Tysus, he brings over here in the second paragraph, it's an important thing here. It's only if you're picking specifically what he needs for immediate consumption. So two of the figs in his hand is viewed as Gemara Malacha for those figs. If he's picking more than what he needs now, he's involved in ordinary harvesting. Gemara Malacha is achieved only when he's harvested the entire amount for which he intends. So that's Tysus' Shita. Others, however, say that what? That combining several figs in one hand for immediate consumption constitutes Gemara Malacha for those figs, even if he intends to harvest more than his immediate need. So that's an interesting machlokas. In other words, Tysus is saying a very interesting thing, that you're planning on harvesting a lot more, so why would two be considered Gemara Malacha? So, therefore, if you have in mind to do more, he wouldn't hold that way. Okay. So it gets a little confusing. Okay.
Confusing.
I mean, I'm finding these rules with it. One at a time versus two at a time. It's a little bit confusing. Rav Shimon Aymer achas miminoi v'achas v'smoiloi v'achas v'fiv. You could hold one in your right hand, one in your left hand, one in your mouth. It's still all exempt. 22. As long as he holds them in the matter stated, it does not constitute tziruf. So there's a question. It's really a machlokus about what's considered tziruf here, okay? If you go up to the top of the tree, so then you can fill your lap with figs and eat them there. Okay, so there's a question here as to what it means, the top of the tree. Does it mean literally the top of the tree or not? This apparently is a machlokes and a farshim. So over here it says over here like this.
It's similar to the top of the house. Is that the idea?
No. The issue is the tree considered a makom b'fnei atzmo that's outside of the chatzar? Okay. So the Mishnah, we'll do the first shot first, the second column. Mishnah does not mean literally going to the top of the tree. As long as you're somewhere on the tree.
Excuse me, where are you?
I'm in the second column of the bottom notes. In it's the second
page.
On page 28B4.
We started with
28b4, second column in the notes. The Mishnah does not mean literally you climb to the top of the tree. As long as you're somewhere on the tree, then you could do it. You could do it. But he has to be 3 tefachim off the ground. That's what it mentions over here. Rambam explains the reason is that the airspace of the courtyard is not does not create kviyas. Airspace is not create kviyas. Only being on the ground creates kviyas. Okay? Now,
if it was on the roof, that would create kviyas also, no?
No. The roof is never considered kviyas.
You can eat two at a time on the roof?
On the roof, you can eat two at a time, yes.
No, not if the tree is in the...
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Why are you going to roof right now? We're not talking about roof. We're talking about the tree. We're comparing the tree to the courtyard. The courtyard, you got to do one at a time. In the tree, climbing up in the tree, it says you can eat more than one at a time. Question is why? Where are you in the tree? First shot over here, you're not literally in the top of the tree. It says, oh, Leroy shot, sounds like the top of the tree. don't have to be in the top of the tree. Why? Rambam says his shot is because the avir of the chatzah is not kaveh. Others say a different shot, that the shot is that the tree is considered a makam b'fnei atzma. Other commentators explain the reasons the tree is considered a separate domain. So any detached produce that's still in the tree is not deemed to have entered the courtyard. In other words, it's felt in Brias Pei Havayas if it's still in the tree. That's the way other Mepharshim explain it, okay? So you have a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and these other Perushim, why it's butter. And in the final brackets, it says, another approach is it mentions the top of the tree somewhat literally because any airspace within the height of the courtyard walls is part of the courtyard. So this top of the tree has to be above the height of the walls that surround the chutzah. That's Rash Cirilo. Interesting shot. Okay. So this is that's the basic Mishnah. Okay, let's go on to Chav Tes Amun Alf. Gefen Shina Tua B'chatzer. So now you have a grapevine. Noitos Kola Eshkol. You can take the whole cluster of grapes and eat them at once. Same thing is true with a pomegranate and a watermelon. That you can eat the whole thing.
Even though by figs you can only
Divrei Reb Tarfon, hold on a second. Divrei Reb Tarfon, it's Machlokes. We're going to see Machlokes over here. That's Reb Tarfon Shita. Rabbi Kiva says, Megagor Be'eshkol. No, you have to take one grape at a time. When it says Achas Achas, it means you take one grape at a time. Can't eat two grapes at once. Ufai Parima, you take one seed at a time. The Sofis Mavtiach, you can cut off a slice of watermelon one at a time. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you. So did you have a question, Rabbi?
No. Looks like it's Allah like the Rabbi Akiva.
So, yeah. The Pasha says that we've been learning all the time like Rabbi Akiva.
It looks like the source, Maimon Perak Dalad Mechos Maisa.
Yeah.
Allah Yitzayim.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because we did at one point learn that if you had the Eshkol and you were walking, right?
That was Machlokes Tanoim. Yeah, we're going to have it again. Hold your horses. Yep. Okay. Kuzbar Shehizrua B'chatzer.
That was a
priest. As far as coriander is concerned, Mekatim Allah Alavi Eichel, you take one leaf at a time and you eat it without even some of him. If you take two more leaves, you are obligated. Okay. Regarding these things, pennyroyal, hyssop, and savory. So now, this is the rule with these. So normally, if these grew wild, they'd be considered hefker, and you wouldn't have to take anything off of them at all. Here, we're talking about where they grew in the chatzar. Because they grew in the chatzar, they automatically are nishmar by definition. So they
grew wild, or you planted them?
It grew wild in the chatzar.
Is there a difference between vegetables and fruit?
No. Maybe only whether it's chayv darbanan or daraisa, maybe. So 7, 8. Yeah, it says over here. They grew on their own. They were not planted. They grew on their own in a courtyard. That's what it says in the middle of 8. The Mishnah teaches, as long as they are protected, they're not exposed as hefker for all to take. They're considered foods, and they're subject to misers. Although when they grow in the wild, they're often left for the animals. When they grow in a protected courtyard, they're automatically considered human food, even if they grew on their own. So that's the big chiddush over here. Okay, I'll go right over here. So that's what it says. If these pennyroyal, hyssop, and savory are protected in the courtyard, they are subject to miser, even though they were not planted. Now we're going to get into some more geshmak halachas. If you have a fig tree, it's standing in the courtyard, but the branches lean into the garden. Again, the chotzer will be machayev, the gino will be pata, right? The gino is not considered ripe the bias. The gino is considered outside the bias.
Wait a minute.
The chotzer is ripe the bias. Yeah?
Where is this gino?
It's outside the chotzer.
Outside the
chotzer.
Okay, so in order to get to the house, you go through the gina, and then
That's right.
Okay. This tree is in the chutzah, but the branches are in the gina.
In the gina, correct. So that's what we're talking about. So what do? Eichel kedarkei upatur, you can eat the figs from the branch in the usual manner. Okay? He may pick two figs at a time and eat them.
One.
He can pick two or more figs at a time and eat them, because he's eating them in the
gina. Not inside the courtyard.
Yeah, we're talking about you're eating them in the gina. Well, actually, we're going to talk about where he's standing in the gemara, but let's assume now he's standing in the gina.
But he's taking it from the
branches that's outside. In the gina. Yeah. Now, normally, sometimes you say you do go bust of the ikker, but over here you won't go bust of the ikker of the tree, because here we're talking about the halacha of roya pnei habayis. So you can't say go bust of the ikker. The ikker may be in the chotzer, but these peiros have never roya the pnei habayis, and therefore they have a halacha according to the area in which they are found. That's the way the mazvere. Okay. So mes begin with the chotzer. If it's the other way around, then oichal anasachas. Obviously, you're going to have to eat them one at a time. V'im tzir of chayv. That's the normal halacha of a chotzer. Now omedes ba'aretz v'noitil lechotz la'aretz. And we have other halachas, which is the negeya. Let's suppose I have a tree that's growing, the root of the tree is in Eretz Yisrael, but the branches are reaching into Chutz La'aretz, right on the border. Or the other way around, it's a mess for Chutz La'aretz, or Noita La'aretz, it's standing outside Eretz Yisrael, so it says, HaKol HaLach HaHaEker, you're going to go after where it's Yonek, exactly. So it's Yonek. In from Eretz Yisrael ground, therefore the peiros are going to be chayiv. It's yonek outside, it's going to be potter. All right? He has a note here. I don't know if it's such a big deal over here. He has a note, a Gemara Baba Basra, that says that, you know, when you have roots of a tree, the Gemara Baba Basra, that the roots of the tree are yonek up to 16 amas. So his question that they ask is, so then, why don't the roots of the tree?
We learned that.
So he's asking a question. So isn't it being yonik from the ground of Chutz La'aretz also? That's his question.
Okay.
That's his question. You think that's a good question?
He
says numerous commentators ask this question. I don't know. One possible answer, he says, is that there's a rock. That's stopping it. Okay, so that's a no-brainer, right? Another possible answer is you go after the primary source. All right, let's go on. Batari Chaima. This is an interesting halacha. I didn't know this halacha at all. Okay, normally Batari Chaima, we know the rule. The rule is if I have a house in a walled city, and I sell to somebody, he has 1 year to be redeemed. I have 1 year to redeem it from the buyer. If I did not redeem it from the buyer, then it's nechlat. It's litzmisos. It does not go back to me at Yadbo. Yeah? That's the basic halacha of Batei Arichan. Okay? Now, the Mishnah is talking about trees. So what's this got to do with Batei Arichan? The answer is that the same halacha that applies to the batei arichaima applies to other things that are mechubal karka that I sell. This is the thing I didn't know. So if I sell a tree inside the batei arichaima, inside the arichaima, and I don't redeem the tree within 12 months, it's nechlat, also I lose the tree. Okay? So now, if the tree, now we can talk about trees in reference to our Mishnah. Let's suppose the roots of the tree are inside the wall, and the nof is outside the wall, or the opposite way. So what do you do? Again, hakolach ha'ikar, the same thing. Okay? So if the roots of the tree are in the arichaima, obviously you lose it. But ari miklat, now we're talking about ritzeach. He killed someone b'shogeg, and he goes to the ari miklat. And the rule is, if he goes outside the ari miklat, the gal adam can kill him, right? He's hutter dama. He's matter himself to be killed. So let's suppose the guy walks outside the Ari Miklat, and he stands on the branch of the tree. He says, "Nah, you can't get me." Right. So let's see what it says over here. Here there's a little knetch over here. You have to see it a little differently. That the rule is, you go after the location of the branches. Now here they say the pshat, and when it says you go after the branches, it means af. Not only do you go
always,
after the ikar,
it's always going to be letovas.
Letovas
the runner.
The runner.
Yeah. The
guy
running
away. Galadam loses on this one. Yeah. So if he's on the trunk and the nof is inside the Ari Miklat, he can't kill him then. Or if he's on the nof and the trunk is on the inside, you also can't kill him.
It's safe. Safe zone. Play tag or something.
Right,
like the safe zone.
Right.
So is this just a kula as far as this goes?
Yeah, this is a kula for the Ratzach, yeah. And it's interesting. I saw in the notes, I think it says, I forgot who he quotes it from, maybe from the Rambam, that you don't have to actually be on the branch, you could be underneath the branch. So, you know, the shade of the branch is also a protected zone. Okay? Ooh, it's like, you know.
Just below it or the shade? There's a big difference. Because the shade.
Just below it. The force field, that's the way force field works in Lost in Space. The force field is direct, it doesn't spread out.
Okay?
That's the way I view it.
Star Trek?
Lost in Space.
Oh,
okay. Showing your age now.
Yeah. It's not the only way to show the age. So now, 1930s. Birushalayim. And the same halacha of Aitor in the Mishnah, Rabbi Sai, Birushalayim. And when it comes to the halacha of Maiser Sheni, Hakol halacha har knife, here too again, it means just like before, it means also after the knife. And you go lachumra both ways. It means there's two chumras by Maaser Sheni. That is to say, if you're outside of Yerushalayim, you cannot eat Maaser Sheni. If you're inside Yerushalayim, you can't be poida Maaser Sheni. Right? So you got to go chumra both ways. So if you're underneath the nof outside of the city, you can't eat it. Am I saying this right? Yeah. You can't eat it because you're not considered... You're not considered in Yerushalayim, right?
You can't redeem it either.
And you can't redeem it either? No. I don't know about that. One second. Is that a... Let me see.
You should be able to eat it.
Hold one second.
The branch and the trees in Yerushalayim.
You know, he doesn't bring that part. In the English, he only mentions the eating. He does not mention the chumra that you're saying. You're saying a chumra that he can't be poided either. I don't see that. It says you may not eat maaser sheni even if he has it with him on the part of the tree that is inside Yerushalayim, and he may not redeem Maaser Sheni if he has it with him on the part of the tree that's outside. He does not, well, then it's Pasha that he can't eat it.
He says the application.
Right, it's both. Right, I'm sorry, it's both. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm getting mixed up. Anyway, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You can't eat it and you can't redeem it. I don't know what I'm drinking a cup.
Because
you consider, you go after, it says here, you go after the Nof. So since the Nof is outside Yerushalayim, you got to go to Chumra and say that it's not in Yerushalayim and you can't eat it. Okay?
But it
doesn't say you can redeem it either.
It says
you can't redeem it either. It looks like you have to go to Chumra both ways. All right? I'm not sure about all this stuff. Vayikra the Gemara, Tani. So it says in the Braisa like this. We grant him time to bruise the first fig. Again, we said you can't eat it. You can't eat two figs at once, right? So now the Braisa is saying here like this. If I went ahead and there was enough time, you know, you want to kind of like soften it up to make it more edible. So you like to say you'd squeeze it, 1, 2, 3, to squeeze it so that it'll get a little softer. He calls it bruising it. So if he hasn't eaten it yet, so then he can pick a second fig and before eating the first one without being liable to tithe the first. Meaning that the first one still remains mutter to eat, but this does not apply to the second one. The second one is still going to be usher, because the second one is mitzarif. It found a fig, and therefore it became nikba. So it's interesting that you have this situation where one fig you could eat, and one fig is considered kvias.
Yeah, but once you finish the first one, then you can eat the second.
No,
one.
You cannot.
Why?
Because it became nikba. It was
one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
This is what he writes over here. He writes like this. Maybe read it in the Hebrew. It might be a little bit maybe easier to read it in the Hebrew. Let's see. Where is it? Let's look at the Rosh Sirlo. You see the Gemara, Rosh Sirlo? Let's look.
Excuse me, where were you?
The Rosh Sirlo.
Second column,
yeah.
Second column, at the bottom, my Gemara. Right, so it says, Haino. Can you refer to Biona? Dafa Pisha Amu, Oichal Achas Achas? That means you can't gobble it both down like one after the other right away. You have to eat it. He's learning a little differently. He's learning you have to eat it slowly. Okay, he's learning a different pshat. This is a different pshat. This is not the one I was saying before. He's learning that the pshat is that you have to give yourself a little time. You eat the first one, and there has to be enough time between picking the second one and the first one that it was.
So it shouldn't
connect.
Don't you have to soften the second one also?
Yeah, but you can't even begin to pick it off. You have to give the first one enough time to eat. That's his shot. Okay, that's not the shot that we were learning so far.
That's what he says in English.
The English one doesn't say this. The English one says, since between picking the first fig and the picking of the second, 16, the amount of time needed to ready the first fig elapsed. Nothing was combined with the first at the time that it was picked. That means the time of picking concludes upon expiration of the period needed to render the fig fit for consumption. Okay? What he's saying here is, even if you didn't eat it, but you let that time expire, then the first fig is exempt from Maisrus. However, the second fig is not exempt, for at the moment it was picked, it found itself in a state of tziruf with the first fig, since you hadn't eaten the first fig. So you hear what I'm saying? This is what I said before. I didn't see it with the Hebrew side, but this is what he's saying. He's saying the pshat is that you give it a certain amount of time. After that time has elapsed, the first fig is considered completely oimid b'fnei atzmo. The second fig, if you pick it before you ate the first fig, it'll be mitzarif with the first fig, but you'll be able to eat the first fig without taking. Okay, that's what it says. Oimid beis. Chavtas oimid beis. Rabbi Yom Hashem Rabbi Ze'era. Now, if you pick the second one within that bruising period, within the 1, 2, 3, right, then they obviously would both be mitzarf. Next, Rav Yirmiya Bai. Now, here I have a typical question from Rav Yirmiya. It's a wild question. He throws it up above 10 tefachim. He throws the fig up in the air. Of course, you all know that Hilcha Shabbos above 10 tefachim is considered a makom ptur, right? It's not considered part of the of any rishuyos, right? So lo hispika le'irei lamato me'avir asara, and this fig hadn't come down back down to earth ad shalikin sashnia, and then you pick the second fig, right? So it was the only one. So it was the only one in the airspace when it was picked. So when I picked it, it didn't see the first one. So nitbalu shtehem, it's considered common. I mean, it's not. It's actually part of the question. Nitbalu shtehem, according to the way we have it over here, it's an abayidal of shvita. He doesn't know what the answer is. Others say, I think, that it might be it's a statement. I'm not sure. It says in the second paragraph in 3, it seems obvious that once the first fig returns to earth, then there will be a tziruf, right? The tithing sets in. The inquiry is relevant, however, if one wishes to eat the second one before the first one falls, or he removes it from the courtyard before the first one falls. Okay, that would be the lechayra, the shayla. But he says it's pashat, that if the first one falls back to earth, that will be mitzarif. Important point.
I think it was the Pnei Moshe that you were referring to on the Gemara, but I don't understand what he's saying.
Which one?
He's saying that if you picked the first one and you waited, right, and you didn't eat the first one, but you waited the shear time, and then you picked the second one,
yes.
Even so, it's mitzarif.
Correct.
It's the second one is mitzarif to the first one.
Yes.
But the first one is not mitzarif to the second one. You can eat the first one still. Subsequently.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
Yes. Correct.
No, he says Nidbalu Shtehem, the Shtaim Havit Siruf.
That's the top line. You're reading the second, you're reading the Gemara's comment. Bitoch. That's where it's Toch Shohus.
Oh, that's Toch Shohus.
That's Toch Shohus.
So he goes from the beginning of the Gemara into that.
That's the follow-up. One follows the other. First, we said that if it's outside the 3,000 right. Shear, that it's not mitzarif in the sense that you could eat the first one.
And then if you pick the second one and you go back, you can eat the first one and eat the second one.
You cannot eat the second one.
You can't eat the second one.
The second one, he says, is always mitzarif. That's what he says. In the English, that's what it says. And in this follow-up, it's
right,
where it's tall,
yeah.
Then they're obviously are with stars.
Yeah,
okay. And then you have this question from Yirmiyah. I'm not going to repeat it, okay? It's a question remains unresolved. Let's go on. There's a shaila here whether this is an introductory remark. The Gra, I think, learns that this is an introductory remark. I'm not going to get involved in that. So now Reb Shimon says, one in the left hand, right hand, and mouth, good enough. Now, Rabbi Elazar ber Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh b'Yemeinu, Shalosh b'Smolo, Shalosh b'Fiv. Rabbi Elazar ber Rabbi Shimon, he was apparently very, very, I think I was going to say, he was a very big person. He was a Baal Basar, and he ate big bites. So he could have, I could have three in the right hand, three in the left hand, and three in my mouth. That'll be also no problem. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Ali did to have an achlon, because he was a diner of large proportions. Have a mishar gar mekain, so he made the measurement like according to this. Now we have another.
So that means it depends on.
Like I said today in davening, v'chol b'nei basar yikru v'shmecha. All the b'nei basar should call out. Let's go on. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Kuny.
Therefore, what?
What?
So if the guy's 5 foot, he has one shear. If he's 6 foot, he has another shear.
Kain osata dvarecha l'shiur, and like they say, right?
Yeah. So I don't understand.
I don't know. That's a good question. In other words, what's considered arai, it depends on how big you are. Okay.
Now, how much you can eat at once.
Would eat at once. That's true. I don't know the answer to the question of the Sata Zerech L'Shurim. It's a good question. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Azla Gabei Rabbi Yosi Bar Lakunya. So he went to his father-in-law, Kamoi. So you got Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, this big guy. Hey, I shouldn't say guy. It's not Kovadik. This big Tana. Was he a Tana?
Yes.
It was a Tana. This big Tana. Went ahead to Rabbi Yosi, went to Rabbi Yosi Bar Lakunya, his father-in-law. Hashtaitzach, when you go to your father-in-law, he's going to comment on the way you do anything. So that's what happens. Havamazagna, he poured him a cup of wine, and you know, they diluted, this calls mazika, right? Hushasi, and he drank it. Havamazagna, he poured him another cup of wine. Hushasi, he drank that one too. And we're assuming here, shasi means he drank it in one gulp. So Amalei, so his father-in-law said to him, Lo Shamas min avuch kama adam sark l'gmois ha'bekais. Didn't your father, this is Reb Shem Meichai, didn't he teach you how you're supposed to, he says you have to swig. I never heard of a word that like that used outside of yeshiva. Take a swig. Anyway, the way to drink it properly. It's a halacha in Hilchos Darkos. It's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, this halacha. Amalei, kamo shehi. So Rabbi Elazar said, this is what he taught me. If it's served as is, so either that means without any dilution, or it means that the dilution is at room temperature. So then you drink it in one shot. Bit soinein, if it's diluted with cold water, then shtayim, two drafts. Bechamin, if you dilute it in hot water, the shalosh, three shots, right? But lo shir chachamim, but they didn't talk about this case. Lo b'yeinach, not by your wine, father-in-law, shuhu no'eh, it's very, very pleasant. Lo b'koisvach, shuhu cotton, nor by your little cups, which are less than a revius, and that's small. Lo b'kriseh, shuhu chachamim, not by my stomach, which is very wide. So a guy like me with your wine and your little cup, I could drink it all at once. It's no problem. Okay, very good. Now here's another case, another incident like this. How Rabbi Elazar was appointed by the Roman government to what? Identify thieves. This is a Gemara Bava Metzia. You're about to have it in the Daf Yomi, that he was identifying thieves. And word got out that he was acting as an informer to the government. So some people were upset at him. What kind of business is this? What are you going ahead and turning over Yidden to the government? He would call her a blazer, vinegar, the son of wine, right? A Malay, so he said back, Lamat Sarkli came. Why are you yelling at me? I'm doing my duties. A Malay, so Rabbi Shua says, Ad Arakva Azazloch Lulukia. You could have gone and run away to Lutki. You didn't have to do the king's order. Amalei, he says, Lekutzim besichim kasakti. Didn't I uproot the thorns that were already uprooted? In other words, I think it means that if I don't do it, someone else will do it. Kind of like thing.
He's saying no.
They're bad.
Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah, but why is he doing it?
Somebody's
got to
do it.
Teretz is, someone else will do it if I don't do it. So that's why I understood it.
They bothered him.
What's that?
B'nei Mavis,
whatever they are.
I'm saying they're sentenced already, so my doing is not changing
He's catching them.
Yeah, but I'm saying
been sentenced.
How could they have been sentenced if he's catching them? The Gemara Bava Metzia makes it sound like if you want to know whether a guy was a ganav, if you go in the, to the to the bar in the morning, and if you see him sleeping there, falling asleep in the morning, you know that if he's not Talmud Chacham, that he was up all night stealing. Okay, so that's what they're looking tomorrow. So it doesn't sound like they were caught yet. Okay. I'm a lay, but like, have a look. So, I'm a lay.
He says, Oblezer, I am also the Malchus Vakka, Navi Mishraim, Harim Lamuth.
Yeah.
Okay. That means people that are with Navi Mishraim already. So
understood.
It's not Mechanish anything.
It could be that there was like a warrant out for their arrest, and he just told them where to find the guy.
Yeah, whatever. I'm a lay, but I have a lock layla at the safe ha'ilam. Should you not go to the end of the world to escape such a task? Lahaniyach balhagina, Shiyakut says kaisav. This is the lashon of the Bible. Also, he says yovo balhagina. You know, let the balhagina come and take out all his kaitzim. What do you have to be the Bar Shalom's, gardener? Right. So that's what it says over here. They have a note here why it's quoted over here. I'm not going to get into that. Next. This Gagal Amayalel, so now here's a question. It said, this question is like this. It said that if you're in the tree, you can eat your fill, right? If you climb into the tree, right? The way we're learning Pashup Shat, you're in the tree, you can fill up, you know, pick as many as you want in your lap and sit there and Shtop Sacharai. You know, Kiddush Malkum Suda Mamish.
Yeah.
No problem. And you drop some. Oh. So it says, Niskagol Ameleh Ma Machzorasa. If a fig tumbled down from the tree on its own accord, it could be it means that it fell off the tree. I'm not 100% sure. What's the law with returning it to the tree and eating it? Do you say that once it reaches the courtyard floor, it becomes kavua? And you can't pick it up, right? Or maybe not. Or perhaps it wasn't brought down by the owner, so it remains exempt. Okay. So the Gemara clarifies, like we say other places. That is to say, where someone carried figs from his field into an unprotected courtyard, planning to eat them there, and he mistakenly took them into the house. So the question is, could you return them to the courtyard? Can you return the figs to their place and eat them there? It's a statement. You can do that, right? So here too, perhaps you should say the same rule that once it goes into since it didn't go into the courtyard with your willing rutzen, so maybe you can again take it out of the courtyard and put it in the tree and eat it there. Okay, so we're comparing. Let's keep in mind the cases that we're comparing. We have a case where you unwittingly walked into the bias when you weren't planning on walking into the bias, right? You wanted to be in the sawdust. You walked into the bias by accident. There you were allowed, since it didn't go in there willingly. It was just, as we mentioned, his muscle memory, walking into the house. And so you could bring it back out to the sada. So we're comparing that to the case of falling out of the tree into the chatzar. Can you bring it out of that? So that's the question.
Bring it back to the tree.
Bring it back to the tree or outside the chatzar for that matter. So, Zok Dumor, now we're Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Let me pause for a second while I stop this.